So happy Hanukkah, everyone. Fifth day already. Whew. Things are flying by. Difficult. Okay, so today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is a daf Nun Tet. And things are getting very complicated around here. So what has happened? We had a Mishnah that opened up the sugya of Gidulin. Now that was made even more complex by the fact that the Mishnah differentiated between Gidulim Advedover Shezaro Kala and Gidulim Advedover Shein Zaro Kala, such as onions or garlic, or the cases of Chatziot that we spoke about yesterday, Luf, all of those types of things. And we found that there was major machlokasin about how to relate the issue of the Gidulin. The way the Ran understood the issue was, are the Gidulim an expression of the root, the bulb, or the original fruit, in the case of a tree of Arla, or are they something new? And if there's something new, then they could even be Mavato, the status of the original thing that they came from. So we ended up having a three-way Machlokas Amoroi, and that has been with us here from the very beginning of the Sugya. And we keep throwing various Mishnayos and various Brises up against these different Shitot to see how the different approaches end up understanding all of the different cases. So the fundamental Machlokas that we were talking about in terms of the Amoraim was that three individuals were involved. We had Rabbi Yonai, and we had Rabbi Yochanan, and we had Rabbi Yonatan. So Rabbi Yonai had been talking about a Batzal, that was a batzal of truma, and you had planted the truma, and now you have enough gidulim to be mevater the original truma. So Rabbi Yonai insisted that these new gidulim are considered to be a different thing; they are not truma, and therefore they will be mevater the original truma. Rabbi Yochanan talked about a similar case where you had grafted a branch from a young tree that was still Orla. It had grown some fruit during its Shnas Orla, which were Asr. However, after grafting, these fruit had continued growing. There were now 200 times additional growth, which would be enough to be Mevatel, the original Orla. And yet, Rabbi Yochanan says, they're not. The Peros are going to be Asr since they started with a small beginning pre, and it kept growing on that, and therefore they're viewed as a continuation of that original fruit. So that's the exact opposite. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, here it's clear that Gidulim are not considered to be something new, and if they grew from Isser, then the Gidulim are also Isser. Rabbi Yonatan talked about a case also of onions, where somebody had planted an onion in a vineyard. So over there he had a problem of Kloya Kerem. This onion continued to grow for years after they uprooted the entire kerem. There wasn't a single vine left. And therefore, there should be no Isser on the Gidulim. And yet, Rabbi Yonatan said that since what you had over here was an original batzal of Isser, all of the Gidulim are Asurim. So that ended up being Lechora, the additional Shita against Rabbi Yonai. So at Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yonatan on one side, the Gidulim are considered to be Usr, and we had Rabbi Yonai, who was talking about Truma on the other side, that Gidulim are Mutter, and then we came up with this problem from Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar in terms of Yisrael who's Choshed al HaShviyas, that apparently the Gidulei Heter were going to be Male whatever you were plucking on Matzai Shviyas that had grown on Matzai Shviyas, and it says it was Mutter. So then that proves that Gidulim are, just as Rabbi Yonai had said, Mutter, because the Shviyas, Matzai Shviyas, should be the same thing as the Batzal that had grown from Truma. So this was a big problem that we had with Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonatan, how they were going to understand the Mishnah in Shviyas and the Bright of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and so on. So the Gemara tried all kinds of answers yesterday. Maybe it was talking about Taruvahs, whatever. So we came up with this incredible new halacha that there is something different about Shvi'is because of the fact that it is purely defined by the earth, doesn't take anything else into consideration. Even Meiser, we ended up saying over there, it's true that the what type of Meiser is defined by the Shnot HaShemitah. However, the Chiyav of Meiser is not ipso facto something that grows from the ground. I'm very sorry. The Chiyav of Meiser is only where you did something to be Gomer Malachtet. And therefore, show me another case where something is usher just because of the status of the ground. There ain't no such case. And because of that, we did not have, in the end, a problem with that sugya, not against Rabbi Yonai, obviously, because it's to support Rabbi Yonai, and not against Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonatan, because it was unique in terms of Shemitah. Okay, today we would like to continue and see whether perhaps we could even bring a mission in this case against Rabbi Yonai. So until now, we had been attacking Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonatan from the sugya of Shemitah and the Yisrael who's being Menakesh with a Choshen on a Shemitah. Now we're going to see, finally, getting back to the root, you'll excuse the question, of the problem, which was, of course, our Mishnah. Okay, our Mishnah seems to be exactly the opposite of what Rabbi Yonai is saying. And how come, like, he didn't take that into consideration? Take a look at the Mishnah. Masiv we had over here, Rami Bar Choma says we have over here a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Konem Perot Ha'elu Alai, Konem Hein Alpi. It says, Beferish, that what's the din? It is Asur, Bechilufehenu Begidulehem. But if you would say, Perot Shani Ochel Vashani To'em, your mutter Bechilufehenu Begidulehem, but only Bedavar Shazaro Kala. But if this is an extension of a bulb that was usher by the Konan, then even the Gedulim are considered to be, Rabbi Yonai, listen carefully, Asurim. So here's what the Mishnah says, that the Gedulim are not viewed as something new, are not viewed as something, therefore, that could be Mavato, the original. So listen, how does Rabbi Yonai come out to say that in the case of the Truma, that then the Truma would be Batal? And here it says Beferish, in the case of the Neder, in the case of the Konam, that the new things are not going to be Batal. Okay, so it's very important to keep all of our cases straight, because there's so many different cases. We've talked about the issue Benogea Peros of Arla. We've talked about the issue Benogea, the onions of Truma, Gidulin. We've talked about the issue in terms of onions of post-Shemitah. We've talked about the issue in terms of the miser of things that were left on the ground that we had before. We had the case of a Levi who left off the Trumas miser, and now it grew, and we said you still have to take off the Trumas miser, but you take it off from somewhere else, because there's no way that you take it off Lefi, the prorated amount of the original. These were all cases that we've spoken about until now. We talked about what the din is Lagabe Orla and Peros of Orla. We talked about what the din is Lagabe onions and Kaloya Karem. And now we're finally getting to what started the whole ball rolling, which is the Isser of Kainomas, Gidulim of Kainomas. And I would think that Rabbi Yonai should use this Mishnah as the most significant Gilui. I mean, there's no other Mishnah that speaks out, that we've had so far, that speaks out so clearly the difference between a Dover Shein Zarokala and a Dover Shein Zarokala, right? And, I mean, what is the source of that difference, my friends? I mean, obviously, there's only one explanation, and that is in a Dover Shein Zarokala, we view whatever grows subsequently as being an extension of the original onion, or the original garlic, or the original potato. I mean, so this is a Beferish Mishnah. And so how in the world could Rabbi Yonai come along and say, no, it's not related to the original, it's new, and it's mutter, and so on, where over here, Bekonomas, it's not new. I don't get it. Brilliant question, obvious question. So over there, it says, the Dover She'eno Zaro Kala Afilu Gidule Gidule Maraser. Beferish. So we see that we never will be Mavato, the original Shirish, even when it comes to Gedulei Gedulin. How do you explain Rabbi Yonai and his putative Truma onion that suddenly turned into a non-Truma onion? How do you get that? Says Reb Abba, there's no kasha bichlal.
What?
No kasha, because we're talking about something else over here. We're talking about konamot. Konamot are by definition a dover sheyesh lo matirin. And since they're a dover sheyesh lo matirin, so therefore, why would they be bottle? So shayne konamot. Because hoil the eboy mitchell alayu, have like a dover sheyesh lo matirin, and they're not going to be bottle, barov, when we say, the rove is very misleading over, not going to be bottle in anything, right? Says the Gemara, wait a minute. And what was the original halacha was talking about? According to Rabbi Yonai Truma, I got bad news for you. If you decide against the Truma that you gave this morning, and you go to a chacham and you say, I made a mistake, I took Truma from something, I changed my mind, I actually had other pears that I had wanted to use to give the truma for this, because this needed to be used for something else. You can be shoyal on your truma. Because remember, the entire concept of Nidrei Iser has to do with the fact that the Torah has given my words impact in creating Isurim such as Hegdesh and so on. So when I create truma, it's true I don't create over there in the same way that I create the Hekdesh, as the Rambam pointed out, but it still requires my yichud of the thing, right? So I can be shoyal on that. So why isn't Truma a Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin exactly the same way, Rabbi Yonai, as you're claiming that a Konam is a Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin? V'Truma Iboy Michala, if you wanted to cancel your Truma and you go to a Bezdin, you can. And nonetheless, we say it's Bato Barov. Where do we, when we say Bato Barov, we don't mean Barov. Remember, it's very misleading to say Bato Barov. And the truth is the Gra takes out the word over here, Barov. It's not Bato Barov, but we use that word loosely. It means it's Bato Echad B'Meah, right? Doesn't mean Echad out of the Meah, 1 to 100, against Meah. Fine. So then that's a Beferish omission. I mean, it says Beferish. Sa'at, Trumat, Meah. So if you have, now this is talking about Truma Temeya specifically, and of course the same thing is true Lagabe, what we call the Truma that is Midameya. So Truma Tahora will be Batal, and therefore will become Mutter for Yisrael. Over here, this Mishnah is telling us that even Truma that is Asura for Koyanim, because it's Temeya, also can become bottle. And the truma to mea will be mutter for a coin. But if it's less than mea, so what do? Well, you would think, what do you mean? What do? Okay, so I'll burn it. If I'm a coin, obviously Yisrael can't use it, but if I'm a coin, I could burn it. No. So the Mishnah comes to say you can't. And you have to let it rot. So dig a hole and let it rot. Put it in your compost heap. Why is that? That's a gezeira derabanan. Because we are worried that anything that you're going to leave around for a while and it's going to take you a week to burn it is obviously in danger of nichshal. Somebody may forget that it was tameh and eat it. People won't realize that it's truma bechlal. So, okay, any of those kind of things is takola. So we're chashinim for a takola that someone will be nichshal and iser, and therefore we don't do that. Okay. But meanwhile, what do we see from here? Habimea, it is in fact ta'ale. I think Gavi is trying to show us a pumpkin of some kind which would have a din of roots. So what would be the din if he planted that and it continued to grow? Well, he's killed it. It took off all the best parts. But anyway, he wants to get to the Gavi of the kari that we spoke about before. The gavi, the kari, is soft, and that part was the part that was edible. Wow. So he's showing us how to get to the gavi, the kari. Excellent. Anyway, but gavi, you're a few days behind. We had that sugya before. So today we're talking about the truma, and it says over here that it would be male b'meah. But I thought you just said that a dover sheyesh lo matirin, you said I cannot be mala. That's how you answered the kainam, our Mishnah. So how do you explain the fact that Truma, which is your case, my dear Rabbi Yannai, it's exactly the same as this case. Well, the Mishnah is talking about Truma Biat Kohen. Once I already gave the Truma to the Kohen, I can't go and be Shoyal on my neder. Now, that's not so poshut. I'm calling it a neder. That's not so poshut, as Moshe Forman should be interested in hearing, but he's withdrawn, because this was part of his flashcards. That's not so poshut, because what's the difference if you gave it to somebody else? The bottom line is, if you're being oiker, the bechira of the truma miyikara, so then why can't you undo the truma? Doesn't make any sense. There's a lot of discussion of this issue in the Acharonim, and I think the most persuasive answer is that it's similar to the halacha of machshava legabe tuma v'taira. So a machshava can undo a machshava when it comes to a dover that was yored letuma al yedei machshava. But a machshava cannot undo a maisa. So once you did something to it, you can't come along and say, I've changed my mind. And therefore, since there's no maisa that you could do that will undo the giving it to the kohen, so because of that, there's no way to be oiker the chalois of the truma, which was a function of mind alone. But changing that mind after an act was already koveya it, that's not in the cards. That is the Anki cards. So therefore, the sugya is not going to be a problem. Anyway, but getting on, so that would be the difference. Excuse me? The Mishnah is talking about that you gave it to the Kohen already. No, it's not. Keep reading. Ima haita tohora. And what if it was not truma tameya? Then you could sell it to Barnea. So timacher la Kohen. I understand. I thought you already gave it to Barnea. So why are you selling it to him? You're not going to get a penny out of him. So obviously the Mishnah is talking about a case where you did not already give it to a Kohen. So I don't understand how you're trying to tell me you gave it. No. You don't understand. You still have to give it to a Kohen because the owner is not a Kohen, right? But he inherited it. He inherited it from grandpa. So his mother's father was a Kohen. It's his truma, but he can't eat it because he's a Yisrael. So then he can sell it to Barnea. But Lamaisa, it had already been given to grandpa, who was a Kohen. That must be the way to understand the mission. Okay. Says the Gemara, nope. Very creative, but it don't work. Even that can't be the case. Why? Because, continue reading. Timacher leKohen, when you sell it to Barnea, you can't take money for the original part that was Truma. Wait a minute. Why can't you take money from the original part if you inherited it from grandpa? It's yours. So why can't you take money for it? I understand if it was never given to the Kohen. So that part, you have to give to the Kohen for free. And the rest of it, which you're not allowed to eat, you could charge for. But in this case, you're claiming that it was already given to the Kohen and you inherited it from the Kohen. So now that doesn't help. Okay, so now we're stuck. Okay, let's see, Rabbi Yannai, you got an answer or not? I mean, so far you've been very creative. So you're trying to say that the Mishnah about the Bittul of Truma is not Nogea. Why? It's a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. You're claiming that our Mishnah is a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. It's exactly the same. Okay. You're right. Konamot, I'm right too. Konamot are a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. But you know why? Not because you can be Shoyal, but because you must be Shoyal. Because remember we said before, if you're Mekayim and Neder, then it's worse than making the Neder. Making the Neder is like building a Bama. But if you're Mekayim the Neder, you already marked a carbon on the Bama, which is an Isser Karetz. So therefore, Mishum de Rabbi Nosson, remember the Omer of Nosson we had before, Kol HaNoder Kilu Bana Bama, Veha Mekayimo Ki Ilu Maktir Aleha. So because of that, you have a mitzvah. That's why I'm saying it's a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin is not theoretical. Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin means that it's omed to become mutter. Not that you could make it mutter. So therefore, the nekudah over here is that where you're talking about a kainam, it is omed to be mutter because you are going to be looking around for how to make it mutter and to be shoyal on your neder. But truma? Understand, there's a mitzvah to be shoyel on truma? You nuts? Once you made a truma, wonderful. Why in the world would you be undoing your truma? That I don't call a dover yeshua atirin, just because theoretically you could be shoyel. Therefore, I, Rabbi Yanai, insist that in that event, the gidulim of the truma will be mevatel the truma. I don't see why not. And therefore, truma, my mitzvah lechulei Allah. Okay, so now we do not have any kind of clear rayas from the Mishnayos that we've brought against either Rabbi Yanai or against Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonatan. So far, so good. Are we happy? I don't see anybody dancing. You guys have to download Juice Newton's song. I'm dancing as fast as I can. And I don't believe that this is the best I can get out of you guys. I mean, it's ridiculous. But oh, there we go. There we go. Now we got some dancing. Uh-huh. But I don't see Al-Roi joining in the dancing over here. All right. Good, good. Okay, now I'm happy. Very good. That's the way it should be all the time. Tzlach rechav al dvaramit. All righty. Thank you, thank you. So, moving on. Let's go now and take a look a little bit into the sugya that we had earlier, a couple days ago, something else that Rabbi Yochanan said. So Rabbi Yochanan said, if you planted 1 liter of bitzalin and you had taken off trumas hamaaser, and now you replant it, and now it grows. The halacha is, no matter how much it grew, you take off maaser on the whole thing, including the original part. So in other words, the entire thing becomes a new chiyuv. Now Rabba was saying this over, because Rabba was a Talmud, and Rabbi Yochanan was saying it over. And Rav Chisda was standing there, and Rav Chisda said, all I can tell you is that only someone who's completely out of their mind would listen to what you're saying. This is the most insane psak I ever heard. If you think you're going to get people to go along with it, you got another thing coming, man. Man sayit lecha, who's going to listen to this nonsense? I don't care if you're quoting Rabbi Yochanan. Man sayit lecha le Rabbi Yochanan Rabbah. I never heard of such things in my life. Heter shebehem lahechan halcha. Now remember, we're dealing over here with the concept of gidulim. We talked about the possibility of gidulim asering the new part, or gidulim being mat to the new part. We talked about the machlokas, the difference between heter, and the difference between lchumra or lakula. But this raises a completely new issue, a very fundamental new issue. And what is that? What happens to something that has become batel? Does it change its identity, or is it just not usher because it's indetectable? Now, what I understood until now, I mean, I'm ready to go along. I don't care personally. Are gidulim new? Are gidulim old? That's how it concerns me. Whatever you believe, if you hold that gidulim are going to usher the new thing, you are basically telling me that these gidulim, I mean, are going to usher the original thing. What are you telling me? That something that was not Tevel has become Tevel because it was outweighed by the new stuff that was Tevel. Right? Okay, so what would be the halacha in such a case that you're going to be taking off Trumas and Maestras against the original onion? That's what you're saying. But then that means that you believe that the original onion has been transformed. Abra, cadabra, I do hereby declare thee Tevel. And now you're going to be taking off Trumas and Maaseres on something that wasn't Tevel, and you're pretending it's Tevel. That is insane. You can take something that's Usser, and you can say, well, I can't taste the Isser, and therefore the Torah says, I don't have to worry about the Isser because I can't detect it. Fine, I understand that. But that doesn't mean that we've changed its essence and it's now existentially something different, does it? So how is it that when we're being mevatel, this original onion, and you're telling me I don't have to worry about an original onion? What do you mean you don't have to worry? Let me ask you something. I mean, suppose you exchange its value for something else, right? What exactly is going to happen to that value? Disappeared? There's no such thing. You can't turn something that was not tevel into tevel, because heter shebem la'echan alach. I understand. Where did the heter go? Iser, I understand. Iser, I'm allowed to eat, not because the iser disappeared. I'm allowed to eat it because I can't detect it. But that doesn't mean that if it's heter, that it's not there. The heter is still there. So how am I taking off trumas and maisers on something that is not chayav on trumas and maisers? I think this is nutty. Says Rabbi, I understand. What's so nutty? There's nothing nutty about it. I'll show you. It's a Mishnah. Milo Tanank de Kavata. We learned exactly the same thing in the Mishnah in Masechet Shviyos. Where? Well, it says over there. Remember, we had this case. You left some onions lying in the field, right? And they were onions that had grown in shishis. And now it's Shviyos. And it rains. And the onions sprout from the new rain while they're lying on the ground in Shemitah. Okay? So what's the halacha over there? So we said, well, it depends. If there's enough chlorophyll in the leaves, that shows that they're being nourished from the field, and therefore they're now shmias, and they become usser. If they're yellowish, so then they're mutter. I understand. Explain to me, says Rabbi. How do you explain the fact that if the leaves had a lot of chlorophyll in them, so then the whole thing is usser? Why don't you say the same thing? Heter shebehem le'echan olcha. Where did the heter disappear to? Because, I mean, let me ask you something. Suppose you went ahead and you used these onions to buy something. Okay, so what's the halacha over there? That the shviyas is teifes is domav, right? Okay, so now you use the part that was already mutter because it was shishis, and you exchange it for something. You say, well, I don't know how to separate the shishis from the shviyas. Fine. You don't know how. But you walked into a store and you say, listen, Mr. Storeman, I have over here some mixture of shviyas and shishis. I don't do business with shviyas, and I'm not giving you any of the shviyas. But I want to buy a piece of meat with the shishis onion that's here. Will you sell it to me? Yes? Thank you. Does that meat become usher b'shviyas? The Mishnah says the whole thing is shviyas. Ha ha. So, what do you think is so crazy about it? Over here, you turned a sixth-year onion into a seventh-year onion. Heter shebo lahechan halak, says Rabbi. Same thing, you're laughing at me, trying to laugh me out of the house. You're going to be crazy to believe that you're going to take off meiser on something that was already meiser. And over here, you're making something that was mutter into shmita. Same exact issue, says Rav Chisda. You don't understand the Mishnah. That's your problem. Well, you really thought that the Mishnah was saying that if the leaves have a lot of chlorophyll, so then the original onion is considered to be usher and becomes a Shemitah onion? Nonsense. That wasn't the point. We weren't talking about making the original onion. It wasn't going back on the ikar of the original bulb. The Mishnah was only talking about what the din is of those leaves that weren't there during Shemitah, during Shishis. That's all it's talking about. So it's saying if they didn't grow from the ground during Shemitah, and essentially they grew from the bulb, so then they're not also Shemitah. That's all it's talking about. What, do you think the Mishnah is going to say something insane like you and your Rebbe? Get out of here, man. Now the Mishnah is talking about not going back to the roots. Alon, what are you dreaming about? Would you rather be skiing? Would you rather be surfing? Would you rather, water skiing? What exactly are you dreaming about? How could it get better than this if this is as good as it gets? Oh, Richie's dreaming. He's going to start telling us about his dreams. No way. All right. So we're back online. That's how I understand the Mishnah. Says Rabbi, what do you mean that's how you understand the Mishnah? So then how do you understand the Braisa about Reb Shimon ben Gamliel? because Reb Shimon ben Gamliel shows up in a brisa on this Mishnah, and what does he say? Titania, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer, Hagadel b'chiyuv chayav, and Hagadel b'patur patur. Excuse me, Rav Chisda, according to you, that's what the Tanakhama was saying. So what do we need Reb Shimon ben Gamliel to repeat what the Tanakhama said? It's exactly what you're claiming, that the whole point of the Mishnah was that we were talking about the difference between the leaves and the original bulb. So what do we, I need Reb Shimon ben Gamliel to tell me that? Tanakhama nami ochikoma, you're claiming that that's what the Tanakhama said. Says Rav Chisda, you know, not only don't you need know how to read the Mishnah, you don't need how to understand the Braisa. The Braisa wasn't coming to tell me another Shita. The Braisa was coming to make it clear that the entire Mishnah was going, I'll leave it to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, that's all. So it's making that clear. Kula matzdis, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel katanila. We often find that. Do I know who the Tana was? It was Tetzstam. You need to know it's Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Fine. Now that means that Reb Chisda is basically saying that the Stam Mishnah over there was like the Shita of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Fine. So Rabbah says, look, you may be right. You may be right. But even if you are right, it has nothing to do with what I paskin. That I can tell you. Because even if we assume that this is going according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, I say that there's another issue that has not been taken into consideration. Because the case that we're talking about is where you left the onions on the ground. Now, this is why I mentioned to you, yes, there's big machlokas. We've shown him how to understand that original case based on this Gemara. So now, the way we've been understanding it, this fits in very well. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel was talking specifically about a case where these onions had grown up, and nobody did anything for them. These poor little onions. They're lying there all alone. Orphan onions. Sitting there on the ground, getting rained over. Dreaming about how nice it would be to be covered by a nice blanket of earth. Poor little onions. And now they sprout and grow. Okay? Did anybody do anything for them? No. Do you have anybody like that fellow in the picture over there who's taking these beautiful onions and gourds and washing them and caring for them? No. So what are you telling me? That's why they call them chasayot. Chasayot comes from the word to be chasalehem. So this is what, again, Gavi is trying to show us. You want to know what it means to be chasayot? Look at me. Quite amazing. Okay. Show and tell is amazing. Anyway, so you have these chasayot, and what happened over there is, since nobody did anything for these poor chasayot, so there is the reason that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel was saying that, well, look, whatever grows now was grown without anybody putting any kind of investment into it, right? So there was no maisa that went to be mevatel it. Now you're telling me, when something just grows on it on its own, without there being any involvement of an awareness that wanted to be mevatelit, that the bittul doesn't take place on the original bulb. Fine. So I can even go along with that. I don't have a problem with that. But what Rabbi Yochanan was talking about, remember, was a case where somebody did go ahead and he planted it. And, everybody's trying to compete. No. This is not competition. Ex post facto, pretending that you care. This is competition with Gavi. Get out of here. You can wave it all you want. You look to me like Barnea waving his coffee. Doesn't prove a thing. So now he's waving loof. Loof. Anyway, excellent. So. Therefore, I say that in the event that somebody put in an investment into it, and he went to be mevatelit, that's different. And over there, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel would agree that it would become batel. And we wouldn't say, het shebeim lahechan alchab. This, by the way, you should just know, benogea the dinim of bittel is a very important question, whether bittel acts to make it as if the iser is not even there in certain cases of bittul. So in other words, let's say you're relying on a case of yavesh b'yavesh, and now you want to eat the entire mixture. Can you eat the entire mixture, including the piece of chazer? Or do you have to say, well, if I know that I didn't eat the actual chazer, I can rely on rov, because each piece is kosher because it was batal barov, right? But if I eat the whole thing, then I know that I'm eating a piece of chazer, so can I eat the piece of chazer? You see, it's the same kind of question. Has it been transformed into I hereby dub the fish with the Pope in it? That's the question. So this is indeed a machlokas rishonim, and you can see that the roots of this discussion lie here between Reb Chisda and Rabbah and Reb Yochanan, right? Okay. Says the Gemara, wait a minute. So now Rabbah's making up a new idea. This idea is called tircha. So now you're saying that because somebody has been toreach in it, so then even Reb Shimon ben Gamaliel is meida, that since you did a maisa to be mevatel it, the maisa helps it to be batel. That's how some learn. There's a lot of discussion about how exactly, what difference does it make if you invested or you didn't invest in it. But fine. Right. I don't want to get into, there's a lot of issues over here that we really need to continue to go into, but, yeah, we won't have time. All right. Anyway, we'll take it on this level. There's a lot of issues that don't seem to be consistent throughout the entire sugya, because we discussed this Mishnah before, whether it was talking about before beer or after beer and so on. Okay, but we won't worry about it now. Now, are you trying to tell me that wherever somebody put in some kind of mind to be mevatelit or some kind of investment to be mevatelit, so then it would be batel? What about the case of, that we had before? What about the case of litra maser tevel? So a guy took the tevel. He went to a lot of trouble to go and to replant it, right? And we said, remember, that was talking about that the Levi got it, and the Levi didn't want to give to Barnea his 10%, so he went to a lot of trouble to plant it, and then it grew, and we said that nonetheless, you're going to have to take off Trumas Meiser from somewhere else on that and give it to Barnea. So I don't understand, but over there he was Toreach, and the halacha should be, according to you, that if you're Toreach, then it should be Bata, right? So how do you explain that? That you're taking off Trumas Meiser? Now you understand that this is a crazy question. There's no way I can avoid this. It's a crazy question because we've said all along that Tevel is a Dover Sheish L'Matirin. So why the heck are we bringing up a question from Tevel where Rabbah already agreed, Rabbi Yanai agreed, we already said a Dover Sheish L'Matirin. Tevel was the example of a Dover Sheish L'Matirin. You could take off one little piece and you could take off the Iser of Tevel. So why is the Gemara asking that it should become Bato? It should not become Bato. How do you explain that? Unless the truth is that you could ask another question, that first of all, what are we asking? Only according to Rabbah? Why are we asking this only according to Rabbah? This is not a question that is defined by Rabbah, because we said before that everybody would agree, even if you don't come this new issue of tircha, everybody would agree that you should be mevatel, the extra growth should be mevatel, the original one in that case. So I don't understand. Unless one question answers the other. We're asking on Rabbah because since Rabbah has introduced a new type of bittul that includes the quality of mind and action in the bittul, because somebody went out to be mevatelit and was tereach to be mevatelit, however that works. So according to Rabbah, we might be asking, so according to you, that should affect even Dover Sheish L'Matirin. Because the only place where we saw Dover Sheish L'Matirin isn't Batal is where it's coming to be Batal on its own. But if someone set out to be Mevatal, so then Enochinami, it ought to be Batal. Maybe that's the Gemara's Kasha. Okay, it's not clear, though. I just wanted to point that out because I'm sure it's going to bother you in your Chazorah over Shabbos when, of course, you review everything that we learned during the week. I'm assuming that is a very valuable thing to do in case you never thought of it. Shabbos is a great time to review the entire 7 Dafim that we learned. Seriously, it doesn't take long time at all. You invest an hour or 2 hours on a Shabbos, and you end up knowing the Gemara 100 times better. So, very kedai to do. But anyway, answers the Gemara, Meiser is a unique situation. Why? Because Shiny Gabi Meiser, the Omar Kra, Aser to Aser. Now, how do you explain the double language? Aser to Aser. See, Aser. What's the ta Aser? You shall surely. What do you mean surely? Do it twice. Aser to Aser. So what it's telling you? That sometimes you're supposed to take off Meiser, even on something that you had already taken off Meiser on. So how is that? I'll tell you what it is. What it is that if you put something like an onion that you had already Meisered, and you put it into the ground, and it grew, you're going to have to Meiser again. Why? Heter Shabam Lehechan Holcha. Oh, the Torah gives a special mitzvah in that case. If you repeat, isn't that ingenious? So that if you went ahead and you planted it, so then you would have to take off Meiser again. But what is that referring to? It's referring to what is normally done. What's normally done? It's normally done on things that Tvorat Zar'acha, the way that people normally plant, they normally plant Heter, not Iser. So basically, it's not including in this halacha that the new things are going to be mechai of you in a case if you took something that was usher, such as the Levi, who replanted something that had Trumas Meiser Chiev in it. There, I'm not telling you that you're going to be transforming it and that you can get away without taking off the Trumas Meiser. There, you're going to have to take off the Trumas Meiser because we're only talking about Eter and we're not talking about Iser. Ha ha. Iser Lozari Inch, and therefore you're bringing Akasha on me that has nothing to do with this particular din. Now, of course, there's something of a problem with this issue, and that is, and this is a marvelous Ron that I must quote you because it's such a beautiful concept. The obvious question over here is, how can you bring a raya from aser to aser and a dover she'ein zaro kola when you replanted an onion? Can you give me one example of a dover she'ein zaro kola that is chayev in meiser midiraisa? Go ahead. I dare you. There ain't no such animal. So how in the world are we bringing a raya that if you replant an onion, onion's not chayev in meiser? It's only the Rabbanan. So go ahead, come up with something else. There is nothing else. Every single example that you'll bring me of a dover, she'ein zaro kala, is only a de Rabbanan. So now we're taking this pasuk, and we're even being medayik from it, legabi, the overall denim of what would be in the opposite case where you planted something that was chayev. I don't understand what you're talking about. Now, the Ron gives an answer that he doesn't like himself. It's not important even what the answer is. What is important is the language of the Ron, which is a lesson lederes. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. So what does he say when he gives this whole answer? Kain nirali. I think that's the pshat. But I must admit, adayin ein da'ati nocha. I'm not really happy with it. And therefore, here's the killer. V'tzarich ani la'asot li rav bazeh. I need to make someone my Rebbe. Now, that's crazy. You could say, I need a Rebbe for it. I need somebody to give me. What do you mean, la'asot li rav? Aseh lecha rav is an arbitrary issue, no? You take someone. You don't believe that you are objective enough to decide in what to do with a serious question that you have deep personal negias in. So you say l'charav. So make someone your Rebbe. But what is he saying? In this sugya, bizeh, in this sugya, tzarich ani la'asot li rav. Whoever heard of such a thing? So if you don't know what the pshat is, it's going to help to say, I dub thee rav. Okay, tell me what it means, Gavi. Go ahead. You're going to tell the Ron what it means. What's the point? So what the Ron is saying over here is amazing. He's saying, look, I'm not happy. I'm not happy with it, which means that my own das is not able to settle on this. Somebody's got to make that determination for me, and I'll rely on it because I just don't trust what I feel about this, right? It's amazing. So in a sugya, where I have an intellectual honor, I have an intellectual insight. And now something in me is telling me, but this is no good. That's similar to an issue in life in which you have an intellectual understanding of, but something inside of you is saying, this is no good. So, okay. So then you're going to ask someone's opinion. So, okay, I need someone to give me an opinion and I'll rely on that. So that I can feel good about, but I can't feel good about accepting my own intellectual determination of something that don't feel right. I think it's mamish precious. It's a really, really beautiful lashon of the Rav. The Ron. Sorech ani lasot li Rav bazeh. Hafla v'tala. Okay. Anyway, so we have this issue so far. Fine. Now, because Richie's been putting in a tremendous amount of work over here overnight, practicing and drinking a lot of hot tea with eggs and a lot of Johnny Walker and so on. Yes, yes, a partridge and a pear tree. I do understand. And actually the parrots here in Rehavia have been going wild just to undo a partridge and a pear tree. I mean, I think Moshe Foreman can post us a picture of 1,000 parrots in a parrot tree. But okay, if you do that, we'd be happy to see it. But anyway.
We got them in a lot, too.
You got in a lot? You've got parrots, too?
Parrots, yeah.
Richie. Those aren't parrots, sweetheart. Those are dolphins. But it's okay. It's part of aging.
They call them parrot troopers.
Never mind. Okay. Anyway, Gufa. So getting back now, you said before an interesting idea. Here's the original that we have, the issue of Rabbi Yonai. But Saul shall truma shenato, v'robu gidula valikaro mutar. That's how the whole thing started. That was the sheet of Rabbi Yonai, and the truma is now mutar. So you're trying to tell me that gidule heter are malin et ha'isur, right? That's what you're saying, Rabbi Yonai. And that's been the issue over the past couple of days. There's only one minor problem, my dear Rabbi Yonai. It's just sort of a strange Mishnah in Masechet Truma that says, gidule truma truma. What are you going to say about that? Now, wait a minute. That's no problem. We always said that what Rabbi Yonai was talking about was always gidule gidulim. I mean, the Mishnah said over here that the gidulim are usher, but gidule gidulim are mutter, because they no longer have any time of the original, and the din of the original is off. That's talking about gidulim. Yeah, I knew you would say that. Hanami Tanina. There's a Mishnah that says beferish, gidule truma truma, gidule gidulin chulin. So what do I need Rabbi Yonai for? Uh-huh. Oh, now wait a minute. That's because the Mishnah is talking about things like grain. Things like grain. They don't have a bulb. But the point of Rabbi Yonai is to teach me that even where you're talking about things like onions, even there, afilu b'davarshe ein zarokala, even so gidule gidule ramutarim. Yeah? That's not even true. Because we have another Mishnah again in Trumas, now that we're turning our attention to Masechet Trumas, we're going to present every problem we got. The Mishnah over there says, hatevel gidulav mutarim where b'davarshe zarokala. Aval davasha ein zaro kala, even gidule gidulavar asurim. So, I mean, we're just going to apply that to truma on something that ein zaro kala. It says over here the exact opposite of Rabbi Yonai. It says gidule gidulin are asurim. So how are you going to explain that away? Huh? Answers the Gemara. Excuse me? What's the problem? What's Rabbi Yonai talking about? Rabbi Yonai's whole halacha was that you can be mevatel the original thing if you have 100 to 1. But the Mishnah is not talking about that. So when Rabbi Yonai is talking about where you have a riboy, that's how the Mishnah is talking about. Rabbi Yonai is made that. Of course, the original is also answering what you're asking. Ribuye over there, the rabo gidulin ali karo. That's all that Rabbi Yonai said. And that, kamashblon, that's what he was teaching about. And that is, in fact, the tremendous chiddush of Rabbi Yonai. Now, as Ripke Vager points out, this last piece is nutso. And it's like unbelievable what this Gemara is doing to us, throwing us back and forth and so on. How the heck are we asking from the idea of Tevel when Tevel was the example of a Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin from the very beginning? So now all of a sudden we forgot the Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin? What the heck? How could we possibly ask this as a kasha? You could just imagine the Achronim going to town with this Ripke Vager. So hopefully over Shabbos, you'll have a chance to entertain the children with this Gemara, I'm sure. What's his name, who wrote Winds of War? Herman Wouk. So Herman Wouk, remember, used exactly these issues to absolutely capture the imagination of Feynman. Had him learning the Daf Yomi and describing like his answers to the Daf Yomi. He had a number of people, including Nobel Prize laureates, who were going crazy trying to answer these kashas. And many of them came up with a lot of the Rishonim's answer. It's an amazing story that he describes in, you know, the book he wrote when he was 103. But he talks about his adventures with the Daf Yomi, which is really amazing. The kind of people that he got interested in Daf Yomi. It turns out people are like fascinated by the sugyas over here because they really are. They're tremendously challenging and beautiful and they're so fundamental and they're so touching on the whole concepts of the way, you know, the structured thinking that a scientist got the Chatchila Lamaisa, as I mentioned yesterday, from contact with Klal Yisrael. So when you hear directly the Shailas in the Gemara, it's like, whoa, it captivates them. Mamish captivates them. You know, I had an idea, gentlemen. It's too late on an Erev Shabbos to start.
Rebbe, we're waiting for the shoes to drop. Richie's all poised and waiting.
That's a shoe? The shoe we've been talking about that I posted was Nogea Chanoch and Chanukah and his being a shoemaker and selling Yosef for Na'alayim and the idea of Yibum being to stand in the person's shoes, which was Nogea, the coming of Mashiach. And what in the world are you being mezalzel in the shoemakers by saying we're waiting for the shoe to drop? Are we learning Yevomis? What's the matter with you? All right, now you can be quiet. We're all right. Adra lach hanoder min hayerek. Okay. Now we'll hear the rest on Mitzvah Shabbos. Bezras Hashem.